Good afternoon, everyone. Phil here with my latest podcast. I'm joined today by John Bullock. I'm going to let John introduce himself to you rather than me do a misdemeanour to his credibility. So, hi, John, and if you'd like to just introduce yourself so people know who you are and what you do.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you, John?
Not too bad.
Thanks for the coffee, John.
That's no problem at all. No problem at all. What about this weather we're having, Phil?
It's great, isn't it? I think the rain stopped, actually, now.
Oh, God, I hope it has. It's absolutely awful. Well, Phil, yeah, my name's John Bullock, and so what am I doing now? I feel like I've come complete circle, so let me tell you exactly about where I am now and what I'm up to now.
Yeah, if you start off with where you are now, and then we can obviously backtrack to the exciting things during your life.
Absolutely. So I run a very unique leadership program that helps people to creatively and strategically think much clearer, leading to optimal performance with great impact, improving the quality of your life. Now, I know I'm going to have to unpack that, Phil.
Is that your elevator pitch, John?
Yeah, I might. God, have I practiced that?
That was word perfect, that.
Yeah, I know.
Say it again, John.
I like that now, Phil. I've got to pat myself on the back. You're absolutely right. But let me unpack it because
it
really is. There's a lot that's being said, but it has to be said because it is unique and it is so different. But we live very much in a stressful society. I've spent 25 years in business. You know, I'm used to the constant phone calls. I remember when I was going on holiday, my missus would say to me, "I'm meant to be on holiday. What are you doing?" You're trying to explain
you
can't switch off, or you're running a business, you know. Yeah. And because you're running a business, there's an expectation value that you'll respond if a client comes to you. But inevitably, it puts you under various stress with your family, with your business, because you feel obliged. And I know you, Phil, and I know you like to give a qualitative service, and I do myself. You like to give it the best that you can do.
Of course,
I know that you've done the best that you can do. You feel, well, there's not much more I can do, at this point. But just to know that you've given it and feel restful in yourself, that that's what you've done, you've given it the best you can. But because of this 24-hour society, we've got constant communication, mobile phones, emails.
It's never-ending, isn't it?
Never-ending. Scheduled meetings, traffic jams. No wonder why we're pulling our hair out today, and we're in that situation, aren't we, because of that and where we are. It does create a lot of stress.
Yes.
And I felt it, and know other people, and we're sort of looking at how do we deliver, but how do we, at the same time with our ability to be able to deliver, how do we soften the stress crisis situation without sort of feeling like your heart's going to explode, or you're feeling you can't deliver, because we've all been in those type of situations where you think, I don't know what do I do in this situation. So what optimal performance is about, it's about looking at your peak performance, and this unique leadership program is about getting you to peak perform over a longer duration period of time. And what's unique about it is the way that we go about it. We take you from the comfortable to the uncomfortable.
Okay.
But we do that on purpose, because we want you to respond, and we want to observe how you respond. And people normally respond under stress in three different ways. They respond by flight, freeze, or fight. And that's what we're particularly looking at, those particular three areas, to see how you respond.
So you test people to see how they react in those scenarios?
Correct.
So what kind of skill, can you give the game away about what kind of scenarios you put
them
under?
What was great about it, I'm working with a company now in the Netherlands called Mind5, and they've been great for me, and they've asked me to join forces with them, because what they wanted to do, they wanted to use my kickboxing, my Thai background, because they use kickboxing techniques to actually put people under stress. Now, I must stress here that what we're not doing is we're not teaching you to box, we're not teaching you to beat fighters, you're not there to compete. But the way that we go about it does put you under a bit of stress, and we want to see the way that you respond.
Okay.
Now, when you respond, we're then trying to get you to sort of reflect on the way that you respond, look at it, and say, look at mechanisms about the ways that you can control it. And most people will be aware that we have what you call the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system. And when you're in a situation, when you're in a stress or crisis situation, you know, your heart rate goes up, your breath's a bit like this, it's very shallow and sharp, you become more focused, your digestion slows down, you're more alert. And conversely, when you're not in a completely stressful situation, the complete reverse happens on it.
Yeah.
Well, what we do is, when putting you in that, we show you mechanisms that you can employ that can help you slow down that. And by having a better understanding on the way that you as an individual respond to stress, you can then plan your day out a little bit better, knowing when you're going to hit your stress points. Okay, and when you need to optimally perform, and because you know how you're going to respond, you can then use techniques that we can show you that can help you control that a little bit better. And I think self-awareness is a great thing. Now, we already do this, and I'll tell you about how many, and I know I've done this in the past, when I've had a situation at work and I felt like, whoa, this is something I really need to do. I've got a problem here, whether it's a legal problem or you've got a family problem or a business problem, whatever it is that you're dealing with. How am I going to deal? What am I going to do? Because you're so anxious, nothing comes to the brain. The creative side of your brain's not working because you're so frustrated, you're so uptight that you can't think straight. So what do? We go for a walk. And once we go for a walk, we get walking. After 10 or 15 minutes, probably feel better, a bit of fresh air, and
yeah, definitely.
You feel much better, and then all of a sudden, you think, well, maybe I can do this,
yeah,
or maybe I can do that.
It clears your mind.
What a lot of people probably won't realize, there's an old saying I've heard so many times. I think Tony Robbins, I think, is saying, well, he says that if you want to change your emotion, you have to change your motion. So, if you want to change
your emotion,
so you have to become physical if you want to change your emotion. Now that's really very, very important, and I can refer to two key points on this. One of them is when we're anxious or we suffer with depression, you can obviously take drugs.
Yeah,
and people do, and they take drugs to medicate themselves, and the idea of the medication is to relieve the stress. But with any type of medication, there's side effects. And what it's doing is it releases endorphins so you feel better. But exercise does exactly the same thing, but it has no side effects whatsoever.
Right.
And because you're creating additional blood flow to the brain because you're moving, you're creating new brain cells. And as soon as you create new brain cells, you're more able to learn better and retain the information and draw upon that information far more efficiently than you otherwise would have done had you just sat there and it felt like your head was exploding. So that's the first part, and that's why we're using the physicality of the kickboxing and the Thai boxing.
Okay.
Because we want you to be bodily aware of how you feel.
Right, okay.
And it's important for it because we need to get an emotional reaction from you. Because during the emotional reaction, it's the time that we learn the most. And we can get it through Muay Thai and kickboxing. And that's why that's used. And for me, it's been a great partnership from that. So hopefully that's explained.
It does explain. It all sounds really interesting. So in terms of the coaching that you're doing, what kind of format does it take on? Are you like a mentor for them on an ongoing basis? Or do they just come on one session? Or how does that actually work out?
Mindfire offers many different ways of delivering it, but from my perspective, I want to do sort of workshops where I'm either dealing with an executive team or the business owner wants his team to actually perform over a longer duration, so when they're in a stressful environment they can actually plan their day out better and get a better return on investment, because instead of shrinking to the stress, they understand better what's happening and are able to perform better, which is what we're trying to deliver, to give them a return on investment. So, workshops for large businesses, corporations, councils, football clubs, that type of thing that I'm looking to do. And the other side that I want to deliver is retreats. Now, in retreats, it would be more intensive, mm-hmm. and it would be perhaps over 8 days.
Okay.
And so we're looking at various locations.
Not going to be here in the rain, I presume.
Not here in the rain, no. But, you know, there's some
exotic.
There's some... Exactly, sounds good to me. Obviously, I know you're a fellow traveller, you know, but Thailand is an obvious place. We're looking at Thailand, possibly Hong Kong, or maybe somewhere in China, because we just think there's a big community out there. Now, the economy is obviously expanding in China,
yeah.
And there's a lot of people that work very hard, long hours, so they're very stressed. So we're hoping that we may be able to deliver a program over there.
Brilliant.
So yeah, the retreats and workshops is something that ideally I want to deliver,
mm-hmm.
and also at this moment in time we're building an online educational program.
Okay.
With regards that people can subscribe to. And in which then they can have courses on stress management and energy management, team management, focus.
Is this something that they can just watch at their leisure on a computer or that kind of thing?
It's active, so it's not a thing that you're sitting down. I need to emphasise this, and with anything like this, you need to buddy up.
Yeah.
So the programme will be that you've got to buddy up with someone, probably your own weight and experience, probably age. Because
yeah.
You've got to sort of help one another on the journey.
Yeah.
With regards to the way.
So you're just like guide the two of them. And
exactly. And the trouble is, we won't be able to do this exactly the same as we would do with the program. Because
yep.
A, I'm not there to see you and the way you observe and maybe change things. So it's a very elementary level. But what it does is, as an introduction, it will give you an insight to the way the program works. But more manifestly, you will have an outcome, and that outcome will be right. When you do the stress management, you will learn to control your stress, guaranteed. When you do the energy management, we'll show you a way to energize yourself and to have a greater degree of energy.
All right, cool. So in terms of like who this is aimed at, have you got like an ideal target market? I don't like that expression, but have you got an ideal target market?
Niche market. So I suppose my
is it niche?
Well, it is, because I
or
think...
Or niche, as they say in America.
is that,
they say niche, apparently.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
It is, because I think it will be a corporation, it will be a company, maybe, you know, from maybe 15 and above employees type of
okay.
thing, you know, anything going upwards from there. That's looking at their team, the way their team performs, and maybe they have... employees going off with stress.
Okay.
And they're just a bit concerned about that, and they want to offer some type of program. Or they've been doing very, very well, but they're aware that they're bringing on more business, and then what they want to make sure is that their employees are in a good place as they move forward. So the program would fit for them. And the program's nearly always run over 6 weeks. So we have 6 different topics each week.
Okay.
And so the program changes every week. But it does deliver on the stress, energy, focus, holding focus, team. So it works on all those kind of themes. But we do use exercise with them, just to get, as I said, to get you with the blood flowing, so you're more willing to learn and you take it in. And we do that purposely because you will learn better.
Okay.
But we also make sure during the sessions that you have time to recover and time to reflect on what's happened.
All right, brilliant. And where's is this information available anywhere? People,
it's on my website now.
Which is what?
Pain Point Coach.
Pain Point Coach.
Pain Point Coach. Yeah, pain as if a stud in your toe, type of thing. Yeah, you know, it's that type of thing. So painpointcoach.co.uk, and it's just because it's a pain point for most people. Stress
yeah.
in the 21st century, it's such a big thing, you know. And we hear such a lot about kids now, don't we? You know, at school. They're under stress, and we're wondering how, you know, the techniques that we can employ, you know. And I think as parents, we all want to help our kids as best as we can, you know. But if they're seeing us stressed,
yeah,
you know, that we're not really being helpful. But if they learn ways of coping with it, then they've got a mechanism down at which they can help their
yeah.
kids sort of move forward.
What I like about, and this isn't like blowing smoke at your backside, but you know, what I like about the fact. And what I know of you and your background, you know, so you're coaching people on how to improve their existence in life, kind of thing, you know. And I think when it comes to coaching, the, you know, the first thing people look at is, well, how can you, you know, how are you going to benefit me? Like, you know, what have you done yourself in your life? And I know from the little bit I know about you, obviously, through your martial arts and through your business, that you've obviously been on that journey yourself, so you can reflect back on that. So you know, so you can, you're a credible coach at the beginning of a new career. So are you, like, really excited now? Because obviously you've been through so many different businesses.
Absolutely.
And not
Phil,
so many different businesses.
Phil, that's a great question. That.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
I do feel passionate about it. You're absolutely right, and I hope that comes across.
No, it does. Genuinely, it does.
I spent 25 years in the property taxation business, and I think, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, I became tired. You know, the sort of risk and reward relationship came out of kilter because of all the changes in legislation, and I knew I'd become tired.
Yeah.
And I think you know when the time to move on. And so I successfully sold that business July. It's been over 12 months now, in July 2018. And just as I sold, like, you talk about things just happening at the right time, you know, Mind Fire, we got in contact with one another.
Right.
Now, I seen
just by fate.
Just by fate, it was just there. And then the director phoned me up and said, yeah, we definitely wouldn't like you to come aboard. So it was great.
It
was just fantastic time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Absolutely. So I've spent a lot of time, I'm going back over to the Netherlands next month, and I've spent a lot of time looking at the, I mean, I'm no psychologist, I'm not a counsellor, I don't want to pretend to be those things,
yeah.
But making me aware of the way people respond,
yeah,
because they have the background and the experience, because they've done it,
yeah,
and
definitely,
show
yeah.
me how to employ it. So I'm actually doing that course at this moment in time, and it's made me, I mean, obviously, as you know, I've had a lot of Thai boxing and kickboxing fights over the years, and we've managed to recover those fights from VHS video and to digitise them. But having this has, it's been able to explain what's happening mentally and emotionally and physically within the body.
Yeah.
And help people move on. You know, Phil, it's given me a great insight. And so maybe I'll talk a little bit about the Thai boxing and the kickboxing now, because what it made me do is it made me look at my fighting career, because I had some great fights, Phil, when I was bloody good. But I had some awful fights as well, when I was not so good.
Yeah.
And that's just being honest, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, what made me really do really well on that fight?
Yeah.
And what made me do so poor on that one? If you'd seen the fight where I was really well, you'd say, I don't want to meet him. And if you see the fight where it wasn't so good, you say, but it's not all what it's cracked up to be.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, so.
Did you see the interview yesterday, or hear the interview with Joanna Konta, the tennis player?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she was in Wimbledon, and she got beaten. She got beaten the quarterfinals, or the round before the quarterfinals, and the interviewer sort of was trying to challenge
her. I'm sorry, I did see it.
Did you?
Yeah.
And they sort of put her on the spot. No, it just came to mind then with you just saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because.
And he did.
Listen to it on the radio when they talk to other sports people, they say, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes with all the training and best training in the world, on the day you just have a bad day at the office, so to speak, you know, a bad day in the ring or on the court or whatever. I suppose if you're challenged on that on national radio, then obviously you're still going to put your guard up, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, and it is very difficult to get that right mindset, and that's particularly what we're looking at now. And what happened to me really resonates with me, because I know it happened to me, and it's been able to look at that and say, well, what happened? What was the difference in the mindset we got in the ring, and you were able to perform so great?
Is mindset a big part of boxing as well?
Absolutely. I mean, the best mindset of all has got to be Muhammad Ali, hasn't it? You know, before he stepped in the ring, the confidence in that man. You know, he was human. He must have felt like we all did.
Yeah.
And God knows, Phil, every time I stepped into that ring, you know, until I threw that first punch, I was scared.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the reality of it. I think most people say, the reality, you know. Until
is that the fear of losing, or the fear of getting hurt, or what's the fear?
That's a great question as well. When I've looked at that, you know, it doesn't rationalise, because when you're in the heat of battle type of thing, you don't really feel nothing. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not till later. You know, I think, oh God, that hurt. Do you know what I mean? So I can't explain it, but possibly the only way I could explain it in this is that when you don't really know a person and you're suddenly stepping in the ring and suddenly you're punching and kicking him or whatever, and there's no real reason for you. It's not as if you're being attacked and that, you know, you're trying to...
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you've got to do it. It can be a hard thing to do, you know.
Do you feel bad when you hurt somebody? Yeah. Maybe not at the time, but afterwards.
I think... I think it is. There's an inevitability. I wouldn't want to hate anyone to such a degree that they never got up. And you know, you look at the nice old Ben and Chris Eubank. And you think about what happened to them and their personal journey, you know. And Chris Eubank, you know, he sort of loves the guy now. But you know, I don't think any fighter wants to do that. I think the reality of it is that any fighter wants to see the other guy come out.
Did you ever know anyone, like, personally before you've had a fight against them?
In the sort of local circuit, because originally, they still do now, we have what we call inter-club competitions, and there's inevitability that you do come across.
Is that harder to fight against someone who you know?
Yeah, I know many years when I trained at Master Toddy's, and we had a few of them, you know, and you'd be training with these guys, next minute you have to get in the ring, you know. It was like a very hard spot, you know, and... But you know, it's where you learn. But I don't
think
it's
part and parcel of the game.
I don't think anyone steps in the ring and says, "Well, I want to do this. I want to do that." It's a journey, isn't it? You know, and the first time I got in the ring, I was just so grateful that I was able to get back out. You know, and then you know, and then the next thing, you kind of keep my eyes open. Somebody throws a punch, and can I actually hit him back that time? You know, and it's all small steps. You know, I was very fortunate in my career because I met a lot of very interesting people. And I trained at Master Toddy's gym, and they had a lot of great, fantastic people in that gym. You know,
where's that gym? Sorry, John.
It was in Manchester. It was in Ancoats in Manchester, in one of the old industrial sewing mills. When I look back at the way we trained, you know, it was so different, even as it is now. You know, but there's a guy there called Ronnie Green, who's 5 times world champion. Absolutely phenomenal, and Jeff, my older brother, and I, we used to travel from Liverpool or Ormskirk to Manchester to train with him, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, and it was a long way to go 2 or 3 times a week, and this went on for about 3 or 4 years, and then we used to just come in the afternoon, probably train with Ronnie when we had fights coming and things like that. And one of the biggest things I learned from Ronnie is that, you know, sometimes you're boxing really hard, you're sparring hard because you've got this competitional fight that's about to go ahead. And then Ronnie stopped us, and he said, no. He said, I'm not going to hit you hard. I don't want you to hit me hard. He said, because that's a big idea. He said, how are you going to learn? How are you going to have the confidence to throw a punch at me if I come back and I've made strong contact with the type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he said, this is about building confidence. And suddenly realised, you know, we were very fortunate to touch bases like that, you know, and I have good role models like that really help you forward. There's something, the realisation that really what this is about, it is a defensive system, and he was teaching you that it's not about being aggressive. If anything, you know, kids getting taught are not aggressive because it's getting taken out while they're in the gym. And it brings me to a good point, you know, Phil. When I was running clubs many years ago, I used to have sometimes with the old fella to come in and I'd say, "Oh, I've come to class today because I want to learn how to beat up so and so." You've got 2 choices when that happens. You either turn around and say, "No, we don't operate that way, bye," or come into the class. And I always brought them into the class. Now, I didn't really teach them anything. I can say that now because I'm not in the club or anything. What I used to do is just give them loads of exercise, plenty of exercise. Because 1 or 2 things happened. They thought to themselves, actually, I'm beginning to like this. It's quite good.
Yeah.
And
they channel themselves, kind of.
Exactly. And then the mindset changes. You know, and they sort of fall into the way, the sort of belief system of the club, which is not about going out and doing this.
Because there's been quite a lot in the news about that, you know, about, you know, teenagers, you know, to get them off the streets, so to speak, and to get them into boxing clubs and, you know, to give them different focus in life and everything.
Well, do you know what, Phil? That's absolutely right. In America, where they've had bad attendance of school for kids and school kids, they've suddenly realised, and they went to some of the really bad areas, the Bronx in New York,
yeah.
Things like that. Kids weren't attending school, like here, carrying weapons and things like that, you know. And they looked at what was happening, and what came to their mind was that the fact that, like in the UK now, it's done away with all sports fields and all the physical education. And they said, well, actually, this is wrong. If you want kids to learn, you've got to change their emotion. You've got to activate their emotion.
Yeah.
You've got to get the kids moved. They'll learn better if you activate them.
Yeah.
And they'll deal with stress better. So we need to activate. So they put a physical program for these kids.
Yeah.
Do you know from 75% non-attendance, of that 75% was non-attendance, they brought back over 70% back in, and
wow,
they were attending school regularly because they brought physical exercise back to the school. That's quite incredible.
Is that physical exercise, or is it boxing? Is it the contest side of things? Yeah, where
I think boxing seems to be a thing that they use. You know, it's a way to challenge it. Energy. When you think about, there's companies in Japan now where the chief executive, when he has a bad day, he goes into a room and starts punching hell out of the kickback, and things like that, to get it out of his system.
Yeah.
There's something there in it, isn't
there? Can I ask you a question, John?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a morning routine?
I do, actually.
What's your morning routine?
What I do is I go for a very small run, not a big run, because I'm aware of my joints and the mobility, and as I get older, I don't...
Is that every day you do that, without fail?
I train 3 times a week with an old buddy of mine called Bob, and we've trained together for years, so we do a bit of power work, a bit of weights.
In the morning?
No, in the evening, but in the morning, during Monday to Friday, I sort of wake up and I'll go for an eight minute run. And that's just to get my mind.
Yeah. What time's that, John?
Normally about 7:30.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
That's it.
And then you come back and then you're raring to start the day?
Well, after it does, it freshens you, it wakens you up. I think for me, I'm very aware that I've got older because you do a lot of twisting on joints because of the kicking and things like that. You know, your hip. A lot of guys, bad knees, bad hips, So I try not to overdo it, so it's about striking a happy medium, but it's the regular consistency of going back every morning. I'm probably, for what's taking me about eight minutes to do maybe half a mile, 3/4 of a mile, and that's it. It's enough to get me going and to get me active, and that's why I do.
What about a healthy diet?
Yeah, well, I was a lightweight when I was fighting, so I don't want you laughing now, saying, oh, he's no lightweight. Well, I accept that,
What weight's a lightweight?
I fought under 64 kilograms.
Okay.
About 10 stone 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What, you're 10 stone now?
10 stone
10 stone 4.
Yeah, there's only a pound in it,
And final question, and probably the most important question, do you watch Love Island? No.
Definitely not. No.
Are you a hater of it, or you just don't watch it?
I don't watch much TV.
No, do you not?
No, I'm not a great lover of TV.
No?
No.
Do you listen to radio, watch videos, or...?
I love going out and socialising. I love talking to people.
Talking?
Yeah.
God, I'm surprised. I'm about to really coax all this information out of you today, John.
I love talking. I love meeting people.
I
become fidgety in front of the TV. Don't really enjoy it. There's not much I'll watch on TV. I can't think of the last thing that I made. Oh, I watched 7 Up, which was a recent thing that came up. It was 63 Up. And it was that social programme.
Yeah, the children were every 7 years.
The exchange bond director came up with it as a very young man. Was it Guy Hamilton? I can't quite remember now, anyway.
Yeah.
But in 7 Up, when you take kids at 7, give the child a 7, I'll give you the man or the woman.
Yeah, it was interesting.
One of them sort of passed away, and I thought, what a great social experiment. It's been interesting watching these people's lives. And the journey, some people that really stand out. I mean, there's one young lady, she's recently passed away, which is very sad. And around 60, so very young, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's Neil, who's from Liverpool, who's you know, he's found life very difficult in every decision that it's taken. That's pained him. You can see that with every decision that it's taken. It shows in his face. And then there's young Tony. Oh, sorry, Tony from London. You know, he's always been a very bouncy type of character. He's a taxi driver, you know, his London knowledge type of thing. You know, and you know, so they're really interesting people. Yeah. As you watch them and they come and listen to, you know, where the people, the kids from Eton, where they ended up, and the other kids.
Yeah,
you know,
all really interesting.
It's
yeah.
really shows what life's like in England. And still
happy
is.
Days.
And still is today.
Of course it is. Yeah. Right, John, well, what's a half an hour now? Can you believe that? Half an hour talking.
Where's it gone?
I know. It's half an hour of our life. Well, hopefully it's been interesting for anyone listening this far. If they have listened this far, please just remind us of where people can find out about your new business, please.
Okay, website is painpointscoach.co.uk.
Okay.
And the office number is 0151 523 6203.
Okay, and on social media, where can they find you on social media?
Facebook.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn.
Painpoint Coach,
yeah. Absolutely.
All right, brilliant. Okie dokie, John. Well, thank you so much. Genuinely really interesting.
Thank you.
I'm sure we can do another one in the future anyway and see where you're up to with your new business and everything.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah. Thanks very much for the opportunity, Phil.
So cheers.
I love what you're doing.
Thanks very much, John.
Cheers.
All right, cheers for listening, guys. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.